Let us pray to the Lord. Holy and gracious Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on this day of the resurrection, calling on you, Lord, to help us in our time of need. We are exiles and strangers in a foreign land. We don't belong here. Heaven is our home. And as we go through our lives in this world, we struggle. And we often pray. And we are very often frustrated, not understanding when it seems as though you are not answering our prayers. We pray for help in time of need. We pray for your word. We pray for your Holy Spirit to cause us to yearn for the pure spiritual milk of the word of Jesus Christ. And in receiving this pure gift, our faith may increase, and we may know that you always answer our prayers, not always according to our petition, but according to your perfect will, and always to bless us. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's absolutely astounding how applicable the Word of God is to our lives here in the 21st century, in our lives here in America. When Peter wrote this letter, 1 Peter, and he is the apostle of action. He's more straightforward. He is more direct in the way he communicates, say, as compared to St. Paul, who's a little more philosophical, if you will, sophisticated. He is very direct in kind of cutting to the chase and addressing all that the people of God are going through in the first century context of 1 Peter. He talks about the dispersion, which refers to the Jews, the original people of God, who are spread out all over the Roman Empire. But as they have spread out and they have begun to worship, they also receive Gentiles in their midst. So there's both Jews and Gentiles throughout the Roman Empire receiving Peter and this important letter. Throughout the letter, again, to spend a little bit more time on context, Peter is spending a lot of time bringing out the fact that he's aware of the hardships they're going through. At this particular time of history in 1 Peter, there is not a formal persecution going on in the empire. We don't have an emperor who says, go get the Christians at this point. However, there is definitely persecution going on. And Christians are often maligned. They're often attacked. They're often discouraged, feeling as though they don't belong. This is why the word is used, that they are as exiles going through a foreign land. I love the fact that God's word is so real. We rejoice to be alive, to be here, to have so many opportunities to enjoy God's rich gifts, to pursue friendships, to love our families, to do the good work that He has given us to do. But at the same time, it's so easy to feel as though we don't belong. It seems as though the world can easily be against us in so many ways. And when we feel that way, it's easy also to feel as though something weird or strange is going on. Isn't it supposed to be that because I am a Christian with a living faith, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that I shouldn't be going through these things? Shouldn't God answer the prayers I bring to Him more rapidly so I see His hand and His powerful work in my life as I have devoted myself to prayer and worship and spirit and truth? Why do I continue to be frustrated and feel as though I don't belong? And as Peter addresses, the people of God are feeling as though something strange is happening to them. But dear Christians, God's word assures us that not only is something strange happening to you when you feel this way, but you are in fact receiving the work of the Holy Spirit to refine you. Now that's easy to say, it's not so hard, it's not so easy to hear and to accept. I seek to live in my baptism. I seek to worship you and receive the Holy Sacrament. I seek to know spiritual discipline, to pray to you constantly, as Paul says in Thessalonians, without ceasing, to love my neighbor, to do what you've called me to do, to hold to Jesus who holds to me. But the suffering continues. It won't stop. It's incessant. So maybe this is a strange thing. Maybe it shouldn't be happening. Maybe I'm not really as strong as I thought I was. And maybe at this point, we hear Satan whispering into our ears to lead us to even question our identities in Christ. So Peter comes and says, no. This is not strange. This is what happens to men and women who are really in Christ. Because we don't belong here. And we should love the fact that we get to be here. But at the same time, we should long to where we're going, the eternal city, the place where we have an eternal inheritance. And in the meantime, know that the fruitful labor that we do here is while we are passing through, constantly reminded that we're kind of uncomfortable along the way. God permits the struggle that we may be refined. So one of the other things that St. Peter says, along with what we have here in 1 Peter chapter 2, is he talks about the refinement. And this is in 1 Peter chapter 1. So I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to hear more about the refinement. And refinement is not always pleasant. If you're a smelter who is working in furnaces, it's a very, very hot environment. If you're being refined, you're experiencing the effects of heat upon you. And it can be very unpleasant. But to be refined is to receive the purifying work of your dross and the bad stuff to be taken away from you. And that's what makes refinement fantastic. Here we have in 1 Peter 1, 5-7. You who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to give you a few more verses on refinement. We need to talk about this more often, and I didn't get it on the printed outline, but if you want to jot them down, that's great. The first other scripture I want to give to you is Isaiah 1, verse 25. Isaiah 1, verse 25, it's very direct, it's very lucid, very clear. God is speaking to his people, Isaiah 1, verse 25. I will thoroughly purge away your dross, all the impurities, and remove all your impurities. That's Isaiah 1:25. Another scripture, Malachi chapter 3, verse 3. Easy to remember, 3:3 of Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament. God says, or the prophet speaks of God, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. God always has a reason for our trials. And they're always to bless us. Tracy is up to day 194 since the bone marrow transplant, and we're a little on pins and needles as she just had a lumbar puncture to test the fluid, because this particular kind of leukemia, you can't completely track just through the typical labs. You have to go up into the brain to make sure it hasn't spread up here. So we're still waiting for those results. We're going through this journey. And I've seen some wonderful things coming from my beautiful wife. One of them, we have, of course, in the past, very normally prayed at night in bed. But she started to do something with me more recently. Not only is she praying with me, but when I make the sign of the cross and bless her, she's been turning to make the sign of the cross to bless me, physically making the sign of the cross on me. And I'm just noticing how her faith has grown. She's become more refined through acute lymphoblastic leukemia. And that's an eternal blessing for her. That's something she's going to carry with her forever. There's always a reason. And God gives us, as a result of this refinement, a result. There is a response. Just picture yourself being refined, and it's really, really hot. And it's sparks and flames and molten going on all over the place. The smelter's sweating, but you're the thing being refined, and you're getting hot. And in this process, what God is telling us, that when this refinement is taking place, He wants something of us. He wants us to start yearning for what we need, what we really need while we're refined. And according to Peter, it is pure spiritual milk. And we're so blessed that God identifies what is pure these days. There's so much that is impure. Watch out getting fast food. There's mystery meat that abounds. It's great. We should drink water like it's the elixir of physical life, because it kind of is. But watch what you drink it with, right? I'm telling myself, don't drink it out of plastic so much, Al. The Word of God says, who can find a faithful man, a pure man? There's so much that is impure in this life. But God makes it clear to us that there is one thing that is completely and utterly pure in this life. And here I'll share with you this word. It is Psalm chapter 12, verse 6, 12:6 of Psalm 12:6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. The Word of God is pure. In this world that has so many issues, so much tumult, so many instances where we feel as though we can't trust, God has given you something pure. And when that pure word enters into your ears and into your mouth and into your mind and into your spirit, He is purifying your soul. He is purifying your life. And as that happens, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we start to understand the goal that Peter sets before us. To be purified means that this word is always going to lead us to a goal. We are given this pure word so that we would learn more and more and more to lean upon and to trust the pure one. The word leads us to Christ, our cornerstone. And with that cornerstone in our lives, we are stable. We are strong, we are assured that God is with us no matter what is happening. For this cornerstone is the one who shed His blood for us. This cornerstone is the one who conquered death for us. And we are built into him. And if you are receiving his pure word built into Christ, then your life is truly a living stone connected to Jesus, filled with life that never ends, never falls short. And when you're feeling weakest and most tired, the Holy Spirit just reminds you to get back to your cornerstone. And you'll say with St. Paul once again, "For when I am weak, then," go ahead and say it, "I am strong." And finally, having this connection with the cornerstone, we have a new status and identity. God doesn't want to keep this pure refining work to just yourselves. He wants it to be shared. And so he makes you royal priests. And that word and term priest is not just about pastors. It is primarily about here in God's word, not according to traditions of men, you are the priests. You are the priests. Priests stand in the middle between the people of the world and God himself. And now that you have been purified by the milk of God's word, brought to the pure Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit intends to work a pure work in and through you. And that is to be a priest. And what does a priest do as he or she stands before God and the neighbor? The priest prays to God for the neighbor, and the priest tells the neighbor about God. You have been given the most marvelous ministry and work imaginable on planet Earth. The Holy Spirit would use you to give the pure milk of God to others, to lift them up in their time of doubt and despair. We rejoice in the sacred ministry. It is ours because once again you have come, and he will feed you with his pure spiritual milk through word and sacrament. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. Amen. Amen.